Hi, I'm Steven, the host of the Mina Surge podcast, your ultimate source for Web3 and fintech related news in the Mina region. We're powered by Fintech Surge and Future Blockchain Summit in association with Jitex Global, an integral part of Expand North Star, taking place October 13th through 16th at Dubai Harbor. We're excited to be partnering with Web3 TV and its host Ornella Hernandez for Web3 Talks.
Hello and welcome to the Web3 Talks. My name is Ornella Hernandez.
And I'm Stephen Bess.
And today's guest is Sam Huber, who is the CEO of LandVault. We have some exciting news that came out this week. LandVault was acquired for $450 million by Infinite Reality. How does it feel, Sam?
Feels great. It's been a long journey to get there and very excited.
All right, so who exactly is Infinite Reality and why did they acquire LandVault?
So Infinite Reality is a company that is actually only a few years old. They've started the esports space and then moved into gaming space. And they now have the vision to basically become this tech platform for immersive technologies. So if you're a brand, a creator of all size, from an individual creator or a Fortune 500 brand or even government, the thesis is that you're going to want to enter the next phase of the internet, which will be more immersive, mainly driven by gaming technologies. And Infinite Reality wants to be the one-stop shop to enable the clients to do that. And that was always the vision that LandVault had as well. We were focused mainly on the enterprise clients here in the Middle East, working with a lot of government entities. They focus more in the brands in the Western world. So the combination of two entities really create this one-stop shop and a very strong solution for our customers.
Well, so I guess you're saying that Metaverse is still going strong then.
Well, I think we proved that. I mean, you know, there hasn't been a lot of exits in this space. There hasn't been a lot of successful fundraisers over the last couple of years. Everyone thinks the Metaverse is not really a thing. And I think if you look at destination platforms where you have to go somewhere, it's true that there hasn't been a lot of traction. But our vision for the Metaverse was simply an evolution of the internet, a more immersive internet. So think of it like 3D websites. You do not need to leave the internet. You're just going to have a more immersive, more exciting type of experience. And I think a lot of clients, a lot of enterprises have jumped into that.
Well, and it seems to have paid off for you.
It's been exciting. Yeah, it's been it hasn't been a straight line. You know, we started as a gaming company about 5 years ago. The vision was always that those virtual worlds were going to become more and more important, that more and more people were going to consume them. And so the tools around the creation, the publishing, the monetization of those worlds was going to be more and more important. And we've spent the last 5 years building those tools, and it all kind of culminated with this acquisition yesterday. And this is just the beginning of a new chapter. We're still, you know, obviously still operating. LandVault is becoming the enterprise department of Infinite Reality with a big focus on the Middle East.
Okay, so what is next for LandVault then? Where does that leave your role, the employees at LandVault? How do you guys fit into the vision of Infinite Reality?
So basically just slotting in as the enterprise department. So Infinite Reality's main product is called the Studio product, and it's basically a tool that uses AI to very quickly create virtual worlds without the need to actually develop it from scratch. Just by looking at your brand, the type of product that you sell, if you're a retail shop, for example, it can create a 3D experience for you that you can just host on your website. That's more of a consumer slash small business product. LandVault comes in with more of an enterprise product where we can create custom experiences from scratch, like we have done for Formula One in Abu Dhabi, for example, that needed a whole digital twin of the track, or malls or even government entities here or big brands. We need a bit more of a white glove touch, a bit more of a custom product. Okay. This is where LandVault can come in. We have the platform to host this experience. We have a pretty large creative team, over 100 people to build those environments. And so now, together with Infinite Reality, we have the consumer side of the product all the way into enterprise and government.
Okay, and I know that company has also been acquiring multiple companies in addition to LandVault, all within this immersive tech field. So what exactly does that mean in layman's terms, immersive tech?
Well, immersive tech is really all the technology that you might need as a creator or as an enterprise to enter this new phase of the internet. So that involves things like what LandVault does, which is a hosting platform, a monetization technology for virtual worlds. That also includes a studio that they have based in LA that can actually do motion capture. So if you're an athlete or an artist and you might want a 3D representation of yourself to do a digital concert, you need to capture that in the first place. So we can do that. We have an avatar company that just been acquired to do pretty realistic faces. You scan yourself. You can now be, you can put that on top of your avatar. We have another company, Drone Racing League, which is basically blurring the line between physical sport and digital sport, and would be a great case study to show how the sport can become immersive. And so if you put all of these properties, all of these assets together, you start to have this end-to-end solution. And if you're a big brand, whatever vertical you're part of, could be retail, it could be sports, it could be luxury, you're going to need some of those elements if you want to enter the next phase of the internet. And Infinite Reality's goal is to have them, all of them in-house, so that no brand, no customer would need to go anywhere else and really become this kind of monopoly, or at least market leader when it comes to immersive tech. So it is a bet on the future of the internet. And I think with all the assets that we have now, no one really can compete. And it's going to be very exciting to see.
Okay, so a full loop within their entire ecosystem then.
Yeah, that's right. Because if you look at what's happening now, you know, a lot of, if you're a brand, you're looking to create an immersive experience. Maybe you want to sell products in a different way. You have to find a place to scan the products so it becomes a 3D asset. Then you need to build a virtual experience. Then you need to find a way to put that on your website, or maybe you want it to be in Roblox. So you already have to deal with 5 or 6 different suppliers. It's very expensive, it's complicated to manage, and this is why a lot of companies have not done that. But if you could talk to one company and they can do everything from A to Z, then that becomes a very, very interesting proposition.
And are these platforms necessarily blockchain-based at all? Is that not needed?
No, blockchain, I think the way we see it is that it could be an additional product if you wanted to tokenize this content, but it doesn't have to be. And at the moment, we see that a lot of enterprise and Fortune 500 and governments, you know, they are more likely to adopt immersive tech than blockchain. I think blockchain is still, it's growing, but if you look at the adoption curve, it's still a little bit nascent. We need to really understand the use case. So we're looking at it as two separate things that could go together, but do not have to.
Great. And I think one of the things that we discuss a lot on this show is the difference between what's possible and what's necessary. And so you mentioned like Formula One and Dubai Mall being clients where you created digital twins of it. And I guess if I'm going even further back, what is the benefit of it? Why do we need a digital twin of the Formula One race? What did they gain out of it by being your client?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we've seen over the last couple of months, because it's been evolving very quickly, that the use cases have changed. When we started that project with Yas Marina, the main goal was to create more engagement for fans. So that's often one of the reasons why you see those brands trying to build a virtual world or go into Roblox or build experiences like that. It's just another way to engage with a younger fan base. And especially for sports, we know that younger people do not really watch TV in the same way. They're not able to focus, you know, for 90 minutes on an event. They have a second screen. So how do you keep them engaged? And having those virtual environments can be a great way for them to look at the action from a different angle, or maybe between the events, between the Formula One races, you can still engage your fan base. So quite often it's an engagement tool. But what's been interesting to see over the last year now is that the next phase of the project, it's quite often around actual utility and operations. So if you have a big venue like a Formula One track, you imagine that emergency situations could arise. You know, there could be floods, like it happened a couple of months ago in Dubai. And the concept of digital twins actually can help for faster responses, faster emergency responses from those events, because you can simulate things in a way that you just can't simulate on top of a physical infrastructure. So, you know, the way I see it is, if you were a retailer 10 years ago, you probably were just starting to have pictures of your product to start selling online. At the time, it didn't feel like it had to go this way. This was a bit of a bet that retailers were making, that, you know, people were going to go online and buy products. And then 5 years later, everyone had videos of products. So I think the next step for everyone that has physical infrastructure is that you will just have a digital copy of it. it's just going to be something that, just like everyone has a picture of their product, you also have a 3D model that basically mimics the physical asset. Because if you start integrating AI on top of it, if you have a building, for example, you can easily run simulations to figure out what happens if this lift doesn't work, how should the air conditioning be set up if, you know, the whole top of the building isn't habited, where are the losses when it comes to heating, not in Dubai, but maybe in other countries. So you can simulate things in a way that would be very, very difficult to measure in the real world and save a lot of time and a lot of money. So ultimately, it's going to come down to being more efficient with physical infrastructure.
Yeah, I love that use case, especially the one that you pointed out, the natural disasters, like the flooding in Dubai, being able to simulate that, come up with a prevention plan for the future is really important, and a use that maybe a user average Joe might not know about. Sam, you mentioned engagement tools. Now I want to talk about a separate entity, a separate product that you created separate from LandVault called Matera, which recently launched a few months ago, and it's all about the creator economy and helping content creators, influencers, anyone who uses social media basically to monetize their content and get rewarded for it. So I wanted to learn a little bit more about how that's going and what your mission for that is.
Yeah, so Matera is a foundation. So it's a separate project. It's a project that eventually will have a token, so fairly decentralized. It was originally created within LandVault and very quickly kind of spun off as a separate entity. We raised $3.6 million in April on the token to kind of get us started and build a great product. And the product is basically a monetization layer that would sit on top of existing social media platforms. So you've probably heard of SocialFi and how those platforms where you can basically, as a creator, there's better ways to monetize your content. Maybe you tokenize your post or you have a fantasy game on top of it, which is great. Our approach is not to create a new social network, which we think is very hard because you compete with Instagram and YouTube and X and all of that.
So you're not downloading a separate app, you're not creating a new account for anything.
It's more like a monetization layer that lives on top of those platforms. So if you are using X or you're using TikTok or you're using YouTube or Instagram, you can connect to matera.club with your social accounts. So then your accounts are connected. And from there, we know, basically, we understand the engagement that you get. We don't have any access to any personal data, but we just see the number of likes, we just see the number of retweets and things like that. And we basically offer rewards for users based on the engagement. So the more engagement you have on Twitter, the more retweets you get, or the more likes you get on TikTok and all those platforms, all of that aggregates into a number of points that you can claim every week. And these points are then converted into actual rewards that are funded by our token and also by brands that come to partner with us to reach that audience that we are aggregating.
So where's the money coming from then?
That's my next question.
For these rewards.
The brands, I guess.
Yeah.
So the money originally comes from the ecosystem pod that Matera has, but we're already starting to work with brands, and a lot of those brands are Web3 projects that are looking to grow their own channels, so have more users, and they basically can create campaigns on our platform. And to create a campaign, they can add money to the pot, and that pot is then split to the creators based on how many points you get. And then there'll be an interesting Web3 mechanics under the hood, so you'll be able to stake for your favorite creators. The idea here is to kind of redesign the mechanics of what makes someone famous, let's say, or successful on social media. You know, today it's all about followers, it's all about engagement. We know that you can buy this, and a lot of people do, but actually finding people to stake for you, to put money for you locked in, that's harder to fake. And so the idea is this concept of super fans, that actually having 100 people that really believe in you is more valuable than having 1,000 people that just see your posts on Instagram. And I think Web3 can really actually bring that theory, that superfan theory, to life, where you do not actually need to have millions of people. It's not about those vanity metrics, but it's about having a core group of fans that really believe in you. And if they actually stake on your behalf, you get the rewards and you split it back to them, and you can really make a living as a creator, not millions of dollars, but probably thousands a month that you can make. And the idea really is to develop that middle class for the creator economy. If you look at the numbers right now, you have the top 1% of creators, which are the influencers.
Yeah.
They capture more than 90% of the revenue.
Yeah.
And so we want to create that middle class where, you know, if you have 10,000, even 5,000 followers, but they engage, they like what you're doing, you should be able to make a decent living out of that. And that's what Matera aims to do.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it sounds like at a certain point, your favorite influencers will have their IPO and be ready to
offer. So that's the idea. Yeah, you can basically turn yourself as a creator into a business in a way where people can back you. And if you're successful, you can then, you know, reverse some of those profits back to your network. And if you decide to keep it for yourself, maybe they won't back you as long. So the system kind of comes into an equilibrium where, based on how much, you know, rewards you're getting and how generous you have with your backers, you can actually grow, I think, in a different way. So instead of just chasing followers and chasing engagement, we're going to create a separate metric for success on social media.
I'm surprised this hasn't been done before.
I think there's been, you know, a lot of, I think there's been quite a few tries of companies that have tried to gamify social networks in different ways. We're coming with a different approach here, which is on top of existing platforms,
right.
So which I think is the key. No one wants to have to create content separately on a platform doesn't have a lot of users.
Right.
And I think we can piggyback on those platforms and hopefully create value for the creators.
So go where the users are. That's the moral of the story.
And because I always think of like the doomsday possibility, several times in this show, I always come up with, well, what if this happens?
Yeah, you're a devil's advocate.
I kind of am, and I think I watch too much sci-fi.
You make a good investor.
Yes. So I'm thinking about if you get to a point where people are now investing specifically into an influencer, I think that can grow to be huge. It can be massive investments. It can become institutional investments. At what point do we say, okay, well, now a person is literally owned by their investments and say, well, now they have to do what the institution says to do. Otherwise, funding gets pulled and that influencer can be, you know, I guess, tanked.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, our model is really around staking on behalf of a creator. So the money does not really go to them. It's a staking model. So, you know, your name could be there and you can see that there's a lot of money behind you. So you get a bigger share of the rewards. But as a creator, you do not have access to that money, which could lead to a lot of people running with the cash.
Right.
So the money is secure in the system, just like any staking. But when you stake, you decide on behalf of who you want to stake instead of just staking at the protocol level.
And to clarify, these are Matter tokens. That are in
That's
the
right.
Pool.
So we'll have our own token. We're actually building the entire DeFi infrastructure to make all of this possible and to bring the creator economy on chain, which will include our own layer 2 as well eventually. Oh. And so the Matter token will be used for staking. It will be the gas token as well. So all of that is being built right now. We really focus on the app at the moment, connecting with X, connecting with Instagram, getting as many users as possible. And then, you know, from there, also building the DeFi infrastructure underneath.
Okay, so can you tell our viewers how to sign up for this, where to go?
It's very simple. You can just go to matera.club. The club is a term that will reveal why it's called a club. Basically, creators will be able to create their own clubs, which comes around this staking concept. But you can go to matera.club. You can sign up with an email. You can connect your X account, your Instagram accounts, and every week come back to claim your points. And very soon, we'll be able to convert these points into actual rewards.
Okay, and the idea is to have be able to connect more social media platforms to Matera, right? In addition to X and Instagram in the future?
Exactly. So we're basically releasing every couple of weeks a new platform. So you'll be able soon to connect with TikTok, to connect with YouTube, and then eventually to connect with Roblox or maybe even Land Vaults. And so this is where, you know, we don't want to be just a tool for a couple of platforms, but this is supposed to be a dashboard for creators. They can connect all of the platforms where they're active and get rewarded for it.
Okay, amazing. So Sam, going back to your overall vision, Matera fits into this creator economy. Land Vault, now part of Infinite Reality, is part of immersive tech. But I wanted to hear from you as an entrepreneur, maybe if you have some advice for other entrepreneurs out there when it comes to those that are trying to either exit or sell their companies, or what advice do you have out there for other business owners?
I think it starts with, for me at least, start with a a vision, almost like a thesis on what is changing in the world. And quite often, you know, the big companies are built on riding a change. They see something changes. It could be for businesses that are trying to act differently or that are adopting the internet in a different way. Or it could be for consumers where their day-to-day is changing and they can see a new habit forming, and you build a tool around that. So I think the main advice is really to really identify a problem that could be a business problem, that could be a consumer problem, and try to build a tool around that, and also try to qualify how big that problem is going to be. Because I often see people with ideas, and sometimes those ideas are great, but it really doesn't affect a lot of people. And if you're trying to build a global business, you need to be able to impact either, you know, hundreds of thousands of businesses or billions of people. But at the same time, there are different scales of businesses, and you can have a very successful business by servicing a handful of customers. So I think it really depends what your ambition motivations are. But ultimately, if you want people to pay you for something, it has to solve a real problem.
I would like to ask you, because I know that last year you came to our first edition of Future Blockchain Summit at Dubai Harbor. And of course, we hope to have you back this year, especially with all the exciting news that you're bringing to the table right now. Tell us a little bit about your experience at Future Blockchain Summit and you know, what excites you most about this particular show?
Yeah, as someone who is not a big fan of most events, I would say that this was actually a great one. You know, events is really all about the people that are there and the companies that are there. And I just remember going there and, you know, meeting a lot of great people from various companies, all the way from small startups with very interesting ideas and concept to like bigger companies. I felt like it was just a very, you know, well-run event with the right mix of speakers versus, you know, the show floor. So I think overall it's a great event. And it's one of the few that I'm still attending. So
great. Well, we look forward to having you back. October 13th through 16th at Dubai Harbor alongside Expand North Star.
All right. I'll make sure to get the light blue shirt memo for next time that we're all together. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sam, and everyone, make sure to check out Infinite Reality, Land Vault, and Matera to learn more about it, and reach out to Sam if you have any questions. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Web3 Talks, and I'll see you guys later.